Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. It is a challenge to obey God's fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. God gives us a weekly Sabbath, a recurring space of time from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. He also gives us annual Sabbaths, and he expects us to obey. Exodus 31, verses 14 through 16 proclaim a sobering warning to us regarding the Sabbath. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Eternal. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Now, obviously, people are not being put to death today when they don't keep the Sabbath. That was taking place in ancient Israel thousands of years ago. However, the Sabbath command is not just for ancient Israel. Mark 2, verses 27 through 28 show Jesus Christ proclaiming himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And there in Mark 2, Christ also says that the Sabbath is made for man. All mankind should benefit from keeping the Sabbath day. You can request our free booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath, at thetrumpet.com. The late Herbert W. Armstrong wrote about the Sabbath day, 114 pages, vociferously defending God's Sabbath and proving beyond any doubt that all mankind should be keeping it today. This is a command, a covenant in force today. And it is very serious when we know about this Sabbath command and yet do not keep it. God is testing our obedience with this fourth command, this fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath. Now, I do have a lot of opportunities to encourage God's people to make the effort to attend Sabbath services with the Philadelphia Church of God. There are a lot of challenges that pop up. People often have to drive a long way to make it to services. People have health problems, health trials that make it very difficult. God, of course, is looking for the right attitude and the willingness and the eagerness to obey. Sometimes people have to keep the Sabbath at home for different reasons. But how easy is it for us to become preoccupied with those obstacles instead of seeing what a blessing the Sabbath really is? The Sabbath should be a blessing to us and not a burden. It takes vision for us to really see the Sabbath day as God does and to love it as God does. We need to catch a glimpse of this Sabbath vision to really see it positively and to rejoice at the fact that we can keep this day. Now, Exodus 31, obviously, verses 14 through 16 are some pretty harsh sounding verses, but they're bookended by a couple of very positive verses. Notice Exodus 31, verse 13. Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Eternal that does sanctify you. God's Sabbath is a two-way sign. It identifies the Creator God, the one who made the Sabbath holy. You can read through Genesis 1 and 2 about how God recreated the earth in 6 days. Man was made on the sixth day, and the very next day, God made the Sabbath. God is the one who founded and instituted the Sabbath day. So the Sabbath is a sign identifying the one true God, our Creator, the God that the world does not know. And they can't know God unless they keep the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is a sign that identifies God. It is also a sign that identifies true believers, true followers of God, true Christians. You think about Sabbath observance, where it's not okay to just attend any church on the corner or any church that happens to agree with the Sabbath argument. Christ built his church, Matthew 16, verse 18, not his thousands of churches. And so Sabbath attendance has to be with God's one true church, which might be a couple hours from your house. And so that requires some effort to attend. And if you are getting dressed up in your Sabbath best, your nice white dress shirt and suit, or a beautiful dress, and you're leaving your house at the same time every Sabbath, and you're gone for many hours at a time to travel to and from services, to be at services, to engage in true Christian fellowship with the brethren, you know, that becomes quite noticeable to your neighbors. They realize, oh, okay, my neighbor is dressed up fancy again on the Saturday morning and is going to be gone for a while. You know, it is something that is noticeable to employers, where we have to firmly, politely, tactfully inform them that from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, we cannot work. Now, we will work hard the other 6 days of the week. We will work on Sundays. We will work extra if that's what it takes to please our employers. But we cannot work on the Sabbath. That is absolute. There can be no compromise on that point. So, of course, our employers know. Our coworkers end up probably finding out about that. That is a test of faith to see if we will trust God to provide our employment and our means of supporting ourselves. The Sabbath truly does identify God's people. We do stand out from the world. I mean, think how many activities in the world are happening on the Sabbath. All kinds of entertainment, all kinds of sporting events, all kinds of people working to provide for themselves. All these activities, you know, mowing the lawn, whatever, watching football. These things are all taking place on the Sabbath. And when we retreat from those things, we stand out. But that's how it's supposed to be, as it shows here in Exodus 31, verse 13. The Sabbath identifies the true God, and it identifies true Christians, who are the only ones on earth keeping the Sabbath correctly, the way that Christ commanded, without all of the ridiculous, burdensome restrictions that the Pharisees put on the Sabbath, and Christ rejected them for doing so. Now, the Sabbath is meant to be seen. This is a sign. those who keep the Sabbath. It's meant to be noticeable as a test of obedience for us. The Sabbath clearly separates God's people from the world. And as it says here in Exodus 31, verse 13, God has sanctified us. He has set us apart for holy use. He has chosen us to serve him. The main way we worship God is through proper Sabbath observance. Sabbath keeping is a major method of getting to know God. On the Sabbath, we pour ourselves into the spiritual priorities: prayer, Bible study, meditation, fellowship. We attend services, we are instructed by God, and it's just such an important time for our spiritual education. You can read Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11 on your own. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11 contain the explanation of the fourth commandment. And God explains the fourth commandment more than any of the other nine. God really is particular about how we keep the Sabbath and we rule our households if we're the man of the house, and we make sure that the Sabbath is being kept by our entire household. Now, obviously, if we're not a head of household, we don't force that on anyone else, but certainly our house, our rules. God really does want everything in our lives to be geared toward keeping the Sabbath holy and worshiping him properly. The Sabbath is of prime importance to God. This is from our free booklet, The Ten Commandments, which you can get at thetrumpet.com. Page 45 says, "This commandment, soon to be at the forefront of international controversy, provides man the opportunity to demonstrate that he loves God with his whole heart, soul, and mind." You see, the Sabbath is a proving ground. It's an obedience test. God wants to see if we cherish him, if we really will put him first and love him wholeheartedly. The Sabbath is holy time dedicated entirely to strengthening our relationship with God. Now, this is really just an amazing day for all of us. Notice here, Exodus 31, verse 17 as well. Another positive verse bookending those sobering verses in Exodus 31. Verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Eternal made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed." How can God rest when he never gets tired, he never sleeps, and he doesn't need any physical rest? How was God rested and refreshed on that first Sabbath day? Well, he had just physically created the entire earth, recreated it, beautified it after the rebellion of Satan and the demons. He had to restore the earth to its original beautiful condition and then make it habitable for human beings. So that was a lot of effort, dividing day and night, creating an atmosphere for the earth, separating the water from the land, making the plants, the land and sea animals, and making man. That's all physical creation. But on the seventh day, God transitioned from physical creation to spiritual creation. That is what refreshed God. It was a different kind of labor. The Sabbath isn't just a day that we sleep away. We engage in spiritual labor on the Sabbath so that we may be refreshed. Notice here from the Ten Commandments booklet, page 47, he created the Sabbath day not by physical work, but by resting on the seventh day. The creation of the Sabbath was the means for God to begin his spiritual creation of man. It is through the observance of the Sabbath that man can come to know the magnitude of God's purpose for human life, to be born again as a spirit being into the very family of God. We learn about our purpose for existence on the Sabbath day, our future as members of the God family. That's what this Sabbath day is all about. That is the Sabbath vision. We need to see the Sabbath vision, not the obstacles that stand in our path that make obedience challenging. We need to see that God is teaching us about our future. He's teaching us about our purpose for being alive. And that's so special, so uplifting, so encouraging, that it far outweighs any of the challenges that we might face when it comes to obeying the fourth commandment. Isaiah 58 is really a lovely passage about keeping the Sabbath and the blessings that pour into our lives as a result. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the eternal, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then shall you delight yourself in the eternal, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the eternal has spoken it. Here in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, God tells us to take away our foot from the Sabbath. Stop trampling the Sabbath with our own ways of doing things, with our own methods, our own physical cares and physical pursuits. Put away the physical. Don't engage in any unnecessary work on the Sabbath. And we have a lot of information about how to keep the Sabbath properly. Again, the Ten Commandments booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath by Mr. Armstrong. Just to really show what God expects on this day. But we have to stop trampling the Sabbath and doing our own pleasures on this day. We need to engage in the pleasures of God on the Sabbath and delight in the Sabbath by living a different way. Yes, we always have physical concerns, you know, finances, health, work, family. But on the Sabbath, we set aside those other cares and we focus on God. That is how we should delight in the Sabbath. And it is so refreshing, so rejuvenating. I would say even just vital in terms of keeping God's health laws and staying healthy. We need to rest physically on the Sabbath and make sure that we recover from a busy week. But then, of course, we need to labor spiritually as well. The Ten Commandments booklet talks about just the importance of immersing ourselves in the things of God, just pouring the Bible into our minds and praying hard and fellowshipping with God's people if we are attending services. God does command us to keep the Sabbath in Leviticus 23, verse 3, and to assemble with the brethren on this day. But when we see the Sabbath vision, that should really help us have the right attitude toward this responsibility. Hebrews 4 actually gives us a link between the Sabbath day and the kingdom of God. That's pretty inspiring. Hebrews 4, verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." Now, the rest here in Hebrews 4, verse 1 is talking about the kingdom of God. You can see there in the context, looking at Hebrews 3, that the Apostle Paul was writing about the promised land, the Israelites entering the promised land, which is a type of the kingdom of God. And we do have to really meet certain standards and qualifications, obeying God, if we want to enter the kingdom of God one day. But Paul then changes the subject a little bit when he talks about rest in Hebrews 4, verse 9. "There remains therefore a rest to the people of God." The word rest there comes from the Greek word sabbatismos, which means Sabbath. So it's really talking about how we need to keep God's Sabbath today to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, the Sabbath teaches us about the kingdom. The Sabbath is a type of that wonderful world tomorrow, the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ over the earth. This is what Mr. Gerald Fleury, pastor general of the Philadelphia Church of God, writes in his free book, The Book of Hebrews, which you can also receive for free at thetrumpet.com. The Book of Hebrews, page 41, Mr. Fleury writes, "The Sabbath is a key to overcoming and spiritual conversion. Physically, the Sabbath is a rest day each week, but God wants us to labor spiritually on that day. This is not natural. We must dig into our Bibles and labor to learn the wonderful truths God wants to teach us. We must get to know Him, grasp this vision and His plan for mankind, and learn how to rule the world. Our Sabbath observance helps determine whether or not we become teachers for God." Mr. Fleury goes on to explain how the Sabbath points us back to creation, but also forward to the world tomorrow. And then he says, "Labor to get this vision into your mind. Make it personal. Spend more time on the Sabbath thinking and praying about it, and ask God to help you. You will never give up spiritually if you maintain a strong Sabbath day vision." Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.